Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio Show, and today is Monday, December 14th, 2015. I have the great honor of interviewing a resident of St. Louis who has been affected, who has actually done a lot of great work in the anti-nuclear industry, and her name is Kay Drey. It is spelled D-R-E-Y, but we pronounce it Drey. She's one of the founding members, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe so, of Beyond Nuclear. Welcome, welcome to our show. I have many questions to ask you. Let my first question be, how long ago did, because, you know, I'm interviewing people of St. Louis to talk about the situation at the Westlake landfill, and frankly, I've gotten an earful in the last week. I really comprehend why this is on the slow train with this business in Congress, why moving things around and getting the legislation passed. I understand that, but what I don't comprehend is there were 11,000 signatures that were sent to Governor Jay Nixon in October, I believe. And Missouri has not been declared a state of emergency, that area around there, so that the residents can move. Do you understand, since you're involved in this, do you understand where that, why that is?
Right. I guess it's just very difficult. Some people don't want to even admit we have a problem, but we do. We have some of the oldest radioactive waste on the planet Earth here in St. Louis, and a bunch of it was dumped in a landfill illegally. It wasn't, no one knew it was being, no one at the landfill knew it was radioactive. So we just have to, somehow people don't want to admit that we have this problem. There are some elected officials and all. So we just have to be firm and say the people need to be protected, moved away from the radioactive waste, and we need to get the waste dug up and taken away from the Missouri River floodplain.
See, this is what I don't understand. When I look into this and I think of these elected officials, they see the numbers. Just a few days ago, I was speaking with Congressman Lacey's media contact, Steve Englehart, and he did an excellent job of explaining how the process works at the government level. And one of the things he said, and I actually took notes because I was like taken off my chair by the numbers, and I had him repeat it because it really blew me away. We're asking when the Corps of Engineers takes this over, the plan is phase one is a 17-year plan, and they will take 13,000 sealed railroad cars a year. That means 17 times 13,000 is 221,000 railroad cars a year were buried with nuclear waste. When we're talking about a nuclear dump site, we're not talking about small numbers. These are big numbers.
Well, I'm not sure people know exactly how much has to be removed, but these materials were processed downtown in St. Louis starting in 1942, and they've been dispersed various places, and the one remaining site that we have to get cleaned up is Westlake Landfill. I don't think anyone really knows exactly how many railroad cars it would take, but we can't leave it in the floodplain of the Missouri River.
No. And this is the thing. There's kind of the way I view this situation in St. Louis. And honestly, I'm so grateful for the work you've done. And I am really grateful that you live in that community so you understand at an intrinsic level really the resistance from just the general public to face this. But to me, there's two issues. One is dealing with the contaminated waste that's been illegally dumped and mishandled for decades. And two, moving the families that immediately, like getting those families. Look, this is what I said to in fact, when I called up our elected officials yesterday, part of the reason I had a problem with setting up this phone call, my PC, now you want to talk about the long arm of intimidation by this new government that we have, and I'm sure it is really directly related to my phone calls. On my PC, I have my Skype, and I called from Skype on my radio show yesterday to all of the elected officials, my congressman, my two senators, Claire McCaskill, Roy Blunt, and I didn't get to Ann Wagner, but I did call Lacey Clay's office. And I said, look, it becomes apparent that we need emergency legislation. We need to pass something, emergency legislation, so we can move these families. And then I was thinking about it last night. We really do need to have like this state of emergency. We could get that. You know, we could get a state of emergency passed. And then this morning before I called you, that's why I was a little bit late getting onto the computer. I was doing research about this. 11,000 signatures were delivered to Governor Nixon's office in October. And there has not been a state of emergency declared. I am wondering, what is the resistance? Like, why aren't the elected officials at the state level more concerned with the public health of these people to help them move away?
Well, I don't know exactly what constitutes a state of emergency. And what we don't want to have happen is to have this landfill actually a crisis, because there are underground fires next to where the radioactive wastes were illegally dumped. So we don't want to wait until a fire reaches the radioactive waste. If this material has to be moved out, and I think that our elected officials now, at least our four people in Congress, have said they want the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to take over the removal of these wastes. And that's what we have to have happen. And we also have to protect the people who are living very near the radioactive waste, because we have radioactive radon gas escaping into the environment and so forth. This is it's just a horrible place.
I don't think we can protect them. We need to move them. That's my position. Those people need to be remediated by remove. Like Lacey Clay's office basically said, they have identified families. I read an article, because I live on the West Coast. You know, I'm not connected, so I don't really. I read what's in the newspaper and I do my research, but I read there were like 83 families. He said they've identified 1,000 families that really ought to be relocated. Now, that is a process. Frankly, that's not that much money, if you ask me. For 83 or 1,000 families, it's not that much money in the long, big picture of what we are expecting to have happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, the money that we're pouring into this. And for the public safety of those 1,000 families, this is a state of emergency. I have a sense of emergency. I mean, I know what you're saying, a catastrophic event, because God knows what would happen if that, and this is the other part that I've learned, is that this fire is not like flames and fire. It's basically contaminated waste from like Monsanto and Bechtel, the other, you know, it's a zone site where they put their horrible, horrible waste in there. And it, because of just the effect of composting, it's now up to 300 degrees. It's like super, super hot, and it's moving on its own.
Yeah, well, these are it couldn't be in a worse location than
where
it is now.
No.
And unfortunately, there are people who live nearby, and they shouldn't have to be inhaling these radioactive gases and particulate materials. So it has to be cleaned up. And we've cleaned, many sites have been contaminated in St. Louis because this is historic radioactive waste. We have had the oldest radioactive waste of the atomic age. All the uranium that went into the world's first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction under the football field at the University of Chicago in April 1942, the world's first nuclear chain reaction, that was processed downtown by the Mallinckrodt Chemical Works, and they processed uranium next to downtown for 15 years, and then they moved over to an adjacent county. So this has been going on now. St. Louis has been hosting this material. A lot of it, tremendous amount actually, has been moved away to licensed radioactive waste landfills. But we have a lot left here, and it's left actually in the floodplain of the Missouri River, and actually some of it was downtown next to the Mississippi River. There's just no good place to process uranium and mess around with it. It is dangerous stuff, obviously for the workers and for the neighbors, and that's what we have at Westlake Landfill, is we have neighbors living next to the landfill, and it just, it couldn't be in a worse location.
It's unconscionable to expect those people to continue living there. It's like, this is what I said to the elected officials. I said this on air. I called them. Frankly, I'm using the airtime that I have to make this a public issue, because I get it that there are people that own the media that don't want people to think about this. But this is, to me, I believe it's our duty as Americans to stand up for each other. And this is not an intentional, nobody meant for this to happen. It was all just a big cluster mess. You know what I mean? Like, they just, one person messed up the other. I don't think they, like, the whole issue about these people, what I said to Roy Blunt's office and all of these elected officials' office yesterday was, I live in the Northwest. When I moved to Eugene, Oregon, I had no idea that, I didn't even know what Hanford was. I was just like millions of Americans who believed that the government was handling all the nuclear stuff and it was all perfectly safe. I move up here and then I understand that Hanford is, Helen Caldicott came here, and frankly I'm super impressed with Dr. Caldicott. And so my friend was trying to, it was April 15th and I do taxes, so I couldn't go. I was so heartbroken. I could not go. And she came up and gave a very invigorating speech to a very poor showing of group of people. Like, there is really no anti-nuclear movement in the country. There's a few, maybe 1,000, but people have just lost their, I mean, people in St. Louis, this is kind of the thing for me. Like, I'm glad I can carry the torch for the people who are feeling burnt out in St. Louis, who just feel battered, like they can't make it happen fast enough.
Well, I guess I'm feeling hopeful, because now our two members of the House, U.S. House and U.S., and our two members, our two U.S. senators, are calling for these materials to be.
Yeah.
At least the cleanup should be turned over to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They've been cleaning up the nuclear weapons waste all along. And I guess one of the things that is of interest to me is that the federal government is now talking about making new nuclear weapons. Some of our stockpiled nuclear weapons are sort of out of date, so they want to make new ones. And I think if any nuclear weapons are made, this has to be the responsibility of the federal government. If the federal government wants to manufacture new nuclear weapons, then they have to be responsible, fiscally and morally responsible, to clean up the waste. And these wastes that we have at Westlake Landfill are among the oldest radioactive wastes of the entire nuclear world. And it's just, they have to be cleaned up. They cannot stay in the Missouri River floodplain, which then attaches, there's the confluence with the Mississippi River, and so the radioactive materials go from the landfill that we have in the Missouri River floodplain down to the Mississippi River and on down south and beyond. And these are materials that will remain radioactive, giving off alpha radiation, beta, gamma radiation, virtually forever into the future.
Yes, it is unconscionable, and they do need to be moved. I mean, but you know what I have to say? When I went to your website, and I would suggest that everybody that listens to this radio show regularly frequent this. And, you know, beyondnuclear.org, it has a great website with a lot of great information. There have been people who have been working on this diligently to get people aware of the harm. And straight talk, it's straight talk on here. And there are some really great pamphlets, which I believe that Kay, you had a hand in producing. I printed one out called Routine Radioactive Releases from U.S. Nuclear Power Plants. And you know what I did? Is I drew a line down the Mississippi, and I counted all the little dots that you have. Do you know there are 51 nuclear power plants east of the Mississippi? 51.
Right, and if you add up how many reactors there are, you know, we have 99 reactors operating in the United States, and almost all of them are east of the Mississippi River.
True.
And then we have accumulated radioactive waste at every nuclear power plant. We really don't know where to send it to have it safe, but it's going to be on our railroad lines and our
roads,
highways. It's just, it is such an unconscionable technology.
Sure.
It's so irresponsible. And we just have to have people admit that. And here in St. Louis, where we have the oldest radioactive waste of the atomic age, some of it has been moved away already. But we have, you know, this huge amount in the Missouri-Mississippi River areas. And we just... there is no good place for nuclear waste, and we have to have people admitting that and not calling for the manufacture of new nuclear weapons. I mean, it is so incredible. This has been going on now since 1941,
well,
42.
I have a question to ask you about these nuclear weapons. Like, I'm reading John Goffman's book, Poison Power, on my YouTube channel, because, as you know, I'm a YouTuber and I have a YouTube channel called Nuts for Art. In this book, he says that every nuclear power plant produces 1,000 Hiroshima bombs in nuclear waste every year, each nuclear power plant. So we can multiply that. But can't they use that waste for the nuclear bombs? Isn't that what they're using it for, is nuclear bombs? Isn't that what they use it for?
Well, the waste is usually just... they try to isolate it somewhere, and it's not there's not really any good place to isolate it.
And there's no use for it. But like, even to create weapons with a nuclear waste, can they create weapons with a nuclear waste, or is it just pure, just byproduct?
One of the things that I think you mentioned, the pamphlet called Routine Radioactive Releases from U.S. Nuclear Power Plants. Not only do power plants generate like irradiated fuel rods that have to be isolated forever into the future, but every nuclear power plant releases radioactive gases and radioactive water into the environment as a routine part of the operation. They cannot remove, for instance, my favorite, which is sort of my unfavoriteist, isotope, which is tritium, which is radioactive hydrogen. They cannot remove the radioactive activity from the water that they release back into whatever body of water they use to cool the operating nuclear reactor. So they release radioactive water into the river, lake, or ocean where they're located, and they release radioactive gases and particulate material into the atmosphere as well. And we really don't have any place on the planet Earth really safe enough for all this stuff. But the fact that these nuclear reactors, new and old, release radioactivity around the clock, not all of it technologically can be filtered, so it's not required to be filtered. So we release it, and the pamphlet that you mentioned that we've printed from at Beyond Nuclear, originally in December of 2012, and we've had two updates since then, it has an incredible cartoon drawing, sort of cartoon, I hate to call it that, on the cover. It came from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It was published in 1977 and before that, also in other versions. It has a picture of a man in the middle of this drawing, and it has a nuclear power plant up in the top right corner. It says nuclear power plant, and then it shows that the power plant is releasing gaseous radioactive waste into the atmosphere, and it's
true.
Releasing liquid radioactive waste into whatever is used to cool the plant, you know, river, lake, or ocean water. And then it, and this is a Nuclear Regulatory Commission drawing. It's called Exposure Pathways to Man, and it shows how the man,
wow,
how the stuff goes into the air and lands on the ground, and it comes, you know, it hits
It is an incredible drawing. They have like these little arrows, like they have a nuclear power plant with a little cloud smoke, and then arrows all pointing to the man that says absorption in the soil, skin absorption into the ground. The arrows are going into the food. The cow eats the grass and the food, and then it goes back. All the arrows point to man. All the absorption of the radioactivity points directly to the human being.
It is amazing. I just couldn't, you know, these were from some old environmental impact statements. This one's 77, and it's just, you know, but this is one of the most important facts about nuclear power, and that's what's worrisome that they're talking about. You know, when people are worried, as we all should be, about global warming, they're saying, well, nuclear power plants, we can use them instead of having coal-fired plants. And I just hope people don't fall for that.
That's
because
ridiculous.
We cannot have, you know, it's very frightening. But that's what happens with a nuclear power plant, one that is operating within the guidelines and regulations of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. But every power plant releases radioactive gases and other particulate material into the atmosphere, and also into whatever body of water they are using to cool the plant, you know, liquid, you know, lakes or oceans and rivers. So it's just not an acceptable technology.
So, Karen, let me ask you this question, because you have been doing this for 40 years. I'm sure you have been in many meetings with people who understand our legislators and our people who make decisions to fund this Department of Energy. Why do they refuse to? Why do we have this blanket of silence about nuclear? Why are our elected officials willing to pretend that tritium in the water source of New York is no big problem? Why are they doing that?
I don't know. Mostly, maybe people don't know about tritium, which happens to be my favorite isotope because it's so awful. And it has it's around for 120 years after it's generated. And the water in the nuclear power plant becomes radioactive, and it's released into the air and into the cooling water source, river, lake, or ocean. But people don't, there are people who just don't want to say that nuclear power plants are dangerous. They don't want to talk about the radioactive waste. In our case here now in St. Louis, where the Mallinckrodt Chemical Works purified all the uranium that went into the world's first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction under the football field at the University of Chicago. It's just so incredible to me to think that students were going to class, you know, while this was happening, and they didn't know whether there would be a huge catastrophe when they, you know, tried to split the first atoms. But it's just a dirty technology, and people have got to understand that. We have no good place anywhere on the planet Earth for the waste, including here our waste in St. Louis, which is the oldest radioactive waste of the atomic age. But we cannot leave it in the floodplain of the Missouri River, and we have to get it somehow isolated, but we sure as heck shouldn't continue making more of these nuclear weapons and of nuclear power.
No, and really, this is the thing, you know, I am kind of known, I sort of coined the phrase, the 90% rule. When I read, I bought a book of Dr. John Gottman's. The first book that I read was called, I thought it was a tongue-in-cheek book. I thought it was going to be a joke book. I went to Amazon. I wanted to read more of Dr. John Gottman's original works. So I went to Amazon and looked for Dr. John Gottman, and I saw this title that was titled, population control through nuclear pollution. And I thought it was going to be a little joke book, right? Him and Arthur Champlin wrote the book. And I got the book, and I've made like a little joke, a video on my YouTube channel. And one of my subscribers said, please read it to me, Lonnie, because I'm ill and I can't read. I would love to have that book read to us. That's how I got into reading these books. And in that book, he really actually was a somber book. He wrote the book as a warning, just like in Poison Power, the last title of the chapter is called Take a New Alternative or Ecocide. But the book was a warning, and in the book, he said that really he noticed when he studied what the government does, how the nuclear industry reports, what the military reports on the negative effects of radiation, he said, they deny radiation causes any harm. If they can point to any, this is their attitude, if there's any other cause of the illness, they eliminate radiation from having any part of it immediately. They deny radiation causes harm. And they underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%. Now, that's Dr. John Goffman who reported that. When he compared the studies, he said, look, they're underreporting the negative effects of radiation, which is why he was drummed out of the nuclear industry, because they didn't like him telling the truth. But this is what it's kind of, and so I call that the 90% rule, okay? Like, we need to have people be aware that the interests, the financial interests of the people creating this product. Like, I was kind of dumbfounded when I had heard that they were going to have to spend $43 million a year on phase one to take out 13,000 sealed railroad cars a year for 17 years to fix St. Louis. That's their plan. That's phase one. And this is the other part that was really dumbfounded me. In all of our cleanup, of all of the fuse wrap, of all of the nuclear waste and all the pollution waste that's created in our country, we only allot $100 million a year, which is nothing considering the job that we got to do.
it is very expensive, and of course it's also very dangerous for the people who work in these facilities. It is such an immoral technology, nuclear power and nuclear weapons, just immoral. And I feel bad about the fact that there are people who have to live near radioactive waste storage, or I guess they call them disposal facilities. It is a technology that just should not be allowed. And the fact that it's spreading through the world is very disturbing.
Yeah.
Because there is no good solution for radioactive waste, but you sure as heck don't want it in the floodplain of the Missouri River that goes into the Mississippi River and on into the rest of the world and up into the air, and particulate material. It is a really dirty, dangerous technology. Dirty, dangerous, and expensive.
Kay, didn't you guys get a major flood about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago? Like major, remember the whole Midwest was flooded out. Did you guys get affected there? Were you guys flooded?
Oh, we get lots of flooding.
Well, when that
because
area
we're
gets
at the
flooded.
Confluence of the Mississippi and Missouri. Yeah, we
right.
have a lot of streams and so forth. We do get flooding. There's
what
no question about that.
What happens to your site? What happens to this landfill when it gets flooded? What happens then? Like what?
Yeah,
is it sealed up super tight so it doesn't leak out? Like what's going on?
Oh
with
no,
that
no. These materials that we have right now at Westlake Landfill were just dumped there. No, the people who took the waste to be dumped there didn't say it was radioactive, and even if they have, I'm not sure back then whether anyone would have paid attention. But at any rate, no, there's no lining, and we are working now to try. Currently, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is responsible for Westlake Landfill, where a lot of these materials were dumped. A lot of our radioactive waste sites in St. Louis that came from our 25 years of processing uranium for nuclear weapons purposes. A lot of those waste sites have been cleaned up. Westlake Landfill is really the main one that has not been. But those radioactive wastes that were dumped at Westlake Landfill they didn't tell anyone it was radioactive material, and they dumped it into as I have said, the floodplain of the Missouri River. The Missouri River floods all the time. And we have an inadequate levee, actually, right there, too, as it happens. The levee is not an official Corps of Engineers levee. But nothing about this site makes it good to have anything dumped there. And it has no bottom. It also has no sides. And even the Environmental Protection Agency and others have said long ago this stuff really should be.
I don't mean to interrupt you. What do you mean? It has, like, my brain is still here as the non-science person. My brain is spinning. What do you mean no bottom and no sides? Like, they didn't put anything like boards or anything. They're just kind of like creating.
No, it was just dumped in a landfill in the Missouri River floodplain. They have a levee there that was not designed or overseen by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So we have a levee protecting the Missouri River, which probably floods more than most rivers in the world, and it floods frequently. But they dump this stuff just in a landfill in holes, and just in an old landfill.
They treated it like it was just your backyard storage waste dump.
Yeah,
they
or even some chemical waste, yeah. Stuff that landfills, yeah, it's just so it was not put into any structure at all. Now, Mallinckrodt Chemical Works processed uranium downtown next to the Mississippi River, and those wastes also went into the Mississippi River downtown. So they processed uranium downtown for 15 years, and then they moved over to the adjacent county, St. Charles County, for another 10 years. So we have waste, sort of all over the place. A lot of them have been dug up and are there in a big pile. It's a really pretty incredible.
So now you tell me why they will not move those families right away. Why the governor does not. That is the answer, because this isn't the only place that the state has allowed this to happen. So it's not just these corporations doing this. The state has an obligation to protect the people. So it gets down to if they move these 83 families or 1,000 families that they've identified, whatever the number is, and then they discover there's another landfill, but frankly, as an American, I'll be very honest with you. We have an obligation.
Right. It's going to take time to dig it up. And the thing about nuclear weapons and nuclear power is that these wastes remain terribly, terribly dangerous virtually forever into the future. You hear about their half-lives and so on that you have to multiply by 10 or 20. They last forever and ever. They're very long-lived stuff. It goes into the air that we breathe, into the water that we drink, and into the land that we use for farming and so forth. We have wonderful farms near Westlake Landfill, and those have been contaminated. Some of those have been contaminated. And so nuclear stuff is not stuff that should be put into our environment. It just should
or
not
denied.
Be.
They need to have, honestly, I get it. It's a technology that really we thought would work, and it didn't. I mean, when we look at, there are 51 nuclear power plants east of the Mississippi, everyone producing nuclear waste. And the storage, we have no answers. We've got 70 years of no answers. Well, we're working on it. I think it's time, frankly, and this is the thing I don't understand. When we look at the amount of money that's involved, $43 million, these are big investments. And it's, my understanding that there are some very powerful people who have major states in Republic Services who now own. I'm kind of confused about who owns what out there. But I was shocked to understand that this is big money, that this is a money-making endeavor, to handle nuclear waste. So I guess if that is, again, the motivation for them to keep producing the waste because it's big money. Somebody gets rich along the way.
Well, I think, it's very disturbing. I think the numbers have changed about, how dangerous it is, and I think we find out more and more that radioactivity is more dangerous than we even used to think it was. But we just, and now what's disturbing about the discussions that are going on about global warming, if we need to get rid of coal-fired plants, they're talking about replacing them with nuclear powered plants, which are, you know, terribly expensive, and they cause a lot of worker exposure to inhumane levels of radiation. But we have, you know, we have the radioactive waste problems, radioactivity that lasts literally, some cases, literally millions and billions of years, these materials give off radioactive particles and rays. It's not an acceptable technology, and I hope people don't say, well, we should have nuclear power instead of more coal-fired plants. I mean, coal-fired plants need to have a lot of corrections made, but there is no solution, no safe solution for radioactive waste. It just does not exist.
Well, not only that, when you consider, I don't know of any other contaminant that affects four generations down the road. When you consider that many of the genetic effects of nuclear radiation do not show up for 2 to 3 generations, they mutate our DNA in a way that doesn't show up, probably the most dangerous, because we don't know what we're doing. And on top of that, look what it's doing to the environment. I mean, they can deny all they want that these whales are washing up dead. 332 whales washed up dead in Chile last week. And they're saying they can't figure it out because it's not from acidification. It's because we have a nuclear volcano going off in Fukushima that has not been stopped, and they have no idea how to stop it. Now, did you go to that meeting? Remember, I think last week there was a couple of meetings last week about what they're going to do with the EPA. Is there any movement that, you know, how quickly do we anticipate that any of this will begin to get, you know, kind of moved in the direction that the people of St. Louis want to have happen?
Well, I don't know. People who work on fighting nuclear power and radioactive waste, you know, we have to think sort of in the long term. I made my first public speech against nuclear power on November 13th, 1974, which was the day Karen Silkwood was run off the road and killed. And a whole long time, since 1974. So I've been reading about this and being unhappy about nuclear power and radioactive waste for a heck of a long time. But I think a lot of people are finding out it is dangerous, and we just cannot use this technology. There really is no perfectly safe place to put these long-lived radioactive waste, things with, you know, half-lives of 4.5 billion years, for heaven's sake. You know, we just can't continue doing this. And what we do right now with the people who are being exposed to these radioactive wastes, we just cannot leave them in harm's way. It's just not.
Oh.
It's immoral.
It is immoral. It's unconscionable. It's a public health issue. So let me ask you this. You've been working in this for a long time, and I'm sorry that you've had, I apologize to you as a member of our culture that you've had to devote your life to this, because I'm finding it unconscionable. How can our elected officials, office after office, Republican or Democrat, my own Senator Jeff Merkley, when he first came into office, he was so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I totally adore his attitude. He actually put together some legislation to modify the Price-Anderson Act so that somebody could be held accountable when they intentionally disregard the law. Someone can be held accountable. Because up in Hanford, they were ordered to triple line those trenches, 40 miles of trenches, to dump the nuclear waste out to cool it down faster. They were ordered by the government to triple line it. Bechtel decided to save money, just dug the trenches and dumped the seams in. And now it is heading towards the groundwater, and by now it is actually seeping and leaking into the groundwater up there in the Northwest. So he wrote this legislation, but you know what happened? It was not even allowed to come to the floor of the Senate. And do you know who blocked it? Mitch McConnell and Ron Wyden, Republican, well, Democrat. I was dumbfounded. Now, why would they do that? I called Ron Wyden's office, and I got a letter that said, it's not the time. Really, when is the time? Fukushima,
well, at least
just happened, you know?
Yeah, we at least should have people understand that there really is no safe, permanent solution for the radioactive waste that are created by nuclear power. And we just have to stop creating more and we have to shut down the plants here in the United States that are
yes.
still operating, because there is no safe solution for the radioactive waste. And people, I can't understand when people go ahead. I'm a member of the American Nuclear Society so that I can get their magazine, Nuclear News,
right.
and I was just reading some this morning. It's, you know, people, I guess they're optimists and pessimists and realists, and I think those of us who are concerned about nuclear power and radioactive waste, we maybe are optimistic because we're still trying to get it stopped, and we're realistic because we know that these are dangerous materials. And a lot of people who understand about radiation and being exposed to radioactivity, you know, are physicians who don't want to say publicly that they think these materials are dangerous and we shouldn't be creating more, which is what we're doing at nuclear power plants. We're creating radioactive materials.
Right. Every day. Yeah.
It's immoral.
Yeah. Every single one of these nuclear power plants are doing it every single day. That's the shock. It's like, it's not just the leaking. It's really so unconscionable. This is why I have a hard time with this plant. I mean,
but we have rare cancers. When you have a bunch of people with rare cancers who live near one another, which is what we have, an incredible bunch of women right now who are collecting data on families who live near our Mallinckrodt radioactive waste and all, and there are rare cancers that they're seeing, you know, elevated numbers. But, you know, even just talking about nuclear power, I when I first began reading about it and learning about the hazards, how much stuff is put into the air and into the water as a part of the routine operation of every nuclear power plant, I learned about what has become my favorite isotope, which is tritium, T-R-I-T-I-U-M, radioactive hydrogen, which is generated at nuclear power plants. And so I was seeing how much tritium was released from nuclear power plants, and I called a health physicist at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and I said, could you please tell me about tritium? And he said, tritium, radioactive hydrogen, tritium is no big deal. All it can do is destroy a DNA molecule. I said, I don't really want my DNA molecules destroyed or my children's, you know, or my husband. So, all it can do is destroy a DNA molecule. This is radioactive hydrogen. Water is made of hydrogen and whatever, what hydrogen.
The incredulity of him saying that, gee, it's not that bad. It can only destroy your DNA. Don't worry. It's just going to mess up your future children.
Right. It's just not an accept. And then when we have huge crises, as we had in Russia and in Japan and all, and then just the worker exposure, we have pamphlets about.
Well, we still have the crisis in Japan. Japan has
right.
not been resolved.
And in Russia. Russia has this gigantic,
right.
huge mess, and it's going to stay there forever. There's no place to move these. You know, it is such an absolutely irresponsible technology.
I found an article that I read on my YouTube channel. It's called The Safety of Nuclear Power by Dr. Alvin M. Weinberg, and it was released publicly in October 25, 2006 by the government. But it was written, he gave this talk in November 1972 before a briefing on New Horizons in Science. It's called The Advancement of Science Writing Briefing on New Horizons in Science in Boulder, Colorado. And in here, he talks about all these different ways. He was the person who called themselves the nuclear priesthood, and we've entered into a Faustian agreement with the nuclear industry that we now have to trust them to protect humanity. And in here he talks about waste disposal. This is the waste from nuclear reactors will remain radioactive for extremely long times. Plutonium-239 has a half-life of 24,400 years, and waste containing this nuclide will remain potentially dangerous for 200,000 years.
That's right. That's right. And, Alvin Weinberg and all those people who promoted these technologies, and that the people are still promoting them. I have a friend who just published a book called, his name is John Google, G-U-G-E-L, and it's called Faith, F-A-I-T-H, Faith Confronts Nuclear Power, a theological critique, and it's just a beautiful book that shows how very dangerous nuclear power is and radioactive waste generation and how it is immoral. And so we just have got, I just am so worried about this, the global warming efforts saying, well, we need nuclear instead of all our other ways of how, you know, achieving power for our people.
Personally, I go with Dr. John Gossman. I think he's right about that. They really only listen to the money.
Well, I don't know. And John Gossman was just a wonderful person and one of my real heroes forever. Just he was wonderful. But he really was ostracized when he raised questions publicly about the hazards of radiation and of nuclear power, radioactive waste. And we really have to have, you know, there are many good people who think nuclear power is fine, but we've got to somehow make them be more aware of what they're doing to today's world and all future generations as far into the future as we can imagine. You know, 4.5 million year half-life, and you have to multiply a half-life by 10 or 20 to see how long it's going to continue giving off radioactive particles and rays. I mean, this is not an acceptable technology. And here we have waste in St. Louis. The oldest radioactive waste of the atomic age is what we have had here in St. Louis. Some of it has been moved away, but we have a lot that remains, like in this crazy landfill that's in limestone plateau. Limestone has holes all the way through it. In the floodplain of the Missouri River that goes then into the Mississippi River and down on into the rest of the southern part of our planet. It is just not an acceptable technology, and somehow people have got to stand up and say, we don't want this technology. It's not safe.
I think as Americans, we have an obligation and a duty. People say, oh, you're such a great activist. I don't actually consider myself an activist at all. I consider myself an American. This is my duty as an American to the American people. Like, I don't know anybody in St. Louis, but you know what? We're all one people, and I'm not, you know, this came from World War II. And we have a moral obligation to clean up our own mess. And it's almost like we wouldn't abandon our veterans. We ought not to abandon the people of St. Louis. And the people of St. Louis that live, that have moved right next door to this dump site, were misled and misinformed. And because of that, I understand in the legislation it says, you're going to hold nobody accountable. Okay, I can get that. But that does not mean we ought not to take immediate action to remediate at least the human beings, because we know that it's going to take 17 years to finish phase one of remediation. We know that. But the 17 years, those families living next to Westlake don't have 17 years. We need to move them out immediately. And we shouldn't take 2 or 3 years to get it done. It should take 6 months, 3 months, 4 months, and get those people help to help them figure out how they're going to, when the reality of these people, as you say, when we started this conversation, many of them don't want to admit it. And the reason they don't want to admit it is because they're going to have to change, and it's going to break their hearts to leave the place they love.
Well, and they may not be able to afford to. That's a huge, you know, some of the families live in trailers. Right.
Yes, but our government...
The trailer park. Right. And, you know, we have a pamphlet that says our federal government creates nuclear weapons. As with other nuclear weapons waste sites, our federal government has the fiscal and moral responsibility to clean up the nuclear weapons waste at Westlake Landfill. And on the cover of our little pamphlet, it says, take the waste away from fire and water, away from people, away from Westlake. We have fire in the Westlake landfill. You know, it's just nuts. It couldn't be in a worse location. And maybe I like to keep trying to remind people it's not just St. Louis, because this is on the Missouri River, the Missouri River floodplain, and it goes into the Mississippi River and on south. And it also goes into the air that we all breathe. It is nuclear power and radioactive waste and nuclear weapons You know, and here we are trying to make more nuclear weapons when we have no place for the waste generated by the production of the earlier nuclear weapons. I mean, this is a technology that just should stop.
Yes, it should stop. You're right. Including the 65 nuclear power plants that the COP21 just wants to, you know, they're firming up their deals. They're going to start nuclearizing Africa and China, India. I mean, they know that they can't sell that to us here in the States. But there are these innocent people. I mean, it must end. And I think it's, you know, okay, so we're nearing the end of this hour, but I do want to ask you about this because I really respect the idea that I honestly came into this very late in the game. I'll be honest with you. I really was not aware of any of this. And when I looked around, it seemed to me like there's no real anti-nuclear activism movement anymore in this country. There used to be, but the people that are engaged in it almost seem to accept the slow train. And now I'm beginning to understand why we have to accept the slow train, because this nuclear waste takes a long time. The question is, what could we do to get people, what do you suggest? I mean, how can we be more effective? I'm going to ask you, how can we get people to care and actively engage? What do you think motivates people to actually stay engaged on this so that we can put pressure on these for these things to be handled correctly?
Well, I think, you know, it's hard for many of us who have no scientific background, and I'm one of those people. And I think people should realize they can say to their elected officials, these materials are dangerous. They're going to last virtually forever, and we don't want to be having to breathe radioactive air and swallow air, radioactive water. You know, people, these are real people, can speak and will be listened to. And I think the fact that the United States really isn't hardly building any nuclear reactors, just a few power plants are under construction right now, I think that's very hopeful. But somehow we have to let the rest of the world know also that we've decided nuclear power is, as we know, dirty, dangerous, and expensive. And people can look at websites like I'm on the board of Beyond Nuclear. There are good organizations out there. They can, and please, people should not think they have to have a science background or understand all these fancy titles, words like tritium, my favorite isotope, radioactive hydrogen.
Right.
You know, and all water is hydrogen and oxygen. And, you know, when our water has radioactive hydrogen in it, it ain't good. And so, but people, just plain people like I am, just can speak out and raise questions and demand safe, clean energy. And it's doable, and we have to say that's all we'll tolerate. Somehow we have to get countries that are becoming more nuclearized, you know, to stop. I mean, we just... it's not an acceptable technology. It is dirty, dangerous, and expensive.
Yeah, dead. I call it dangerous. Well, I always say dangerous, expensive, and dirty, dead. That's what I call it, dead.
Oh, good. That sounds good.
You know, dirty, dangerous, dirty, expensive, and dangerous, you know, or... you know, because it really is. That's the one thing. People do not recognize it. When they're talking about, oh, it's not that bad. Well, look how it works. Look what happened with WIP. I mean, we now have to store our nuclear waste on site because we have no places to send it to now. This is the sad part. San Onofre got shut down, but that nuclear waste is sitting exposed, waiting for an earthquake to happen in half-inch thick containers. The ridiculousness of it is beyond comprehension, the immorality. I commend UK for being willing to stick with this because, honestly, you've been doing this for... And I can't help but apologize. There's no reason our government should have allowed this to go on. And I say this to people who disagree with me, but our democracy is not working because it requires people get actively engaged. And we have a country full of disillusioned, disappointed people who just refuse to take action. And my thing is, let's challenge that, because if we got 60,000 people to call Governor Jay Nixon's office and say, hey, we need a state of emergency to move those families that were lied to at Westlake Landfill and move them out tomorrow, we could get a state of emergency declared for a small number of people, get them moved out within 6 months, and then they can figure out how they're going to fight over the funding of cleaning up that nuclear site. That's my feeling.
Yeah. Oh, can I just read a quote, one quote
Please
that
do.
I love? Hannes Alfvén was a Nobel laureate. He got his Nobel Prize in Physics in 1970. He says, the fission reactor produces both energy and radioactive waste. We want to use the energy now and leave the radioactive waste for our children and grandchildren to take care of. This is against the ecological imperative. Thou shalt not leave a polluted and poisoned world to future generations.
Wow. Well, I guess they didn't follow that one, did they?
It's immoral. And we can't do
there.
It. It is not
is
an acceptable technology. And we have to let, people shouldn't have to live near this kind of material and breathe these radioactive gases and drink radioactive water. It's just not acceptable.
And the secrecy and the lying, the sign. See, this is the thing. I have a protest sign that I go out and when I first talked to you, I told you, we are, you know, we do these little protests. I'm a YouTube activist, and I go out and I protest. I go to the experimental nuclear power station up at Corvallis. It's right across from the EPA at the University, the Oregon State University here. It's about 30 minutes away from me. And I'll go stand out in front of the EPA across the street from the experimental nuclear power plant, the one-third module, and I with a sign that says, when scientists lie, people die. And that's what we have. We have scientists who have been co-opted to create these scenarios so they can give the nuclear industry the answers they want. So they manipulate the facts. It's like what they, I'm sure you know about this, what they did in Chernobyl. They did not go into Chernobyl. The WHO was not allowed to go into Chernobyl for 5 years at Chernobyl because of the IAEA refused to let them go. So now the studies come out and say, well, at Chernobyl we did not, and they were only allowed to study three types of cancer and only children. So now the studies, when they talk about nuclear explosions, they say, well, at Chernobyl we didn't see any cancer for 5 years and only children were affected. We only noticed children were affected. This is how they create the scientific lies. That has to end. This is what they're doing to the people in St. Louis. We don't see any, we've never noticed it. We haven't observed it.
No, they have. Yeah, they're very eloquent people who are speaking out, and we really,
thank
this
goodness.
Is just, nuclear power is dirty, dangerous, and expensive, and unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Amen to that. Well, thank you. Tell me the name of that book, Faith Concepts, by, what's his name?
Oh, Faith, F-A-I-T-H.
Yeah.
Faith Confronts Nuclear Power. Faith Confronts Nuclear Power. It's just a beautiful book by John Google, G-U-G-E-L, who is a minister, and it's very strong. It has a wonderful quote from Helen Caldicott and also from Ed Asner on the back cover. And it's brand spanking new, and it's just wonderful.
Is that book available on your website? Do you have a link to the book on your website?
I think we may have, and I think it's published by Resource Publications in Eugene, Oregon.
Huh?
Eugene, Oregon. Resource Publications.
Well, I'll have to look them up.
It's Whips and Stock Publishers. But at any rate, we'll have a link to it on the Beyond Nuclear website.
Thank you. Look, we're coming up on the end of the hour. Is there anything that you would like to say to any of our listeners, that action you want them to take?
Well, people can write, please, to their congressional people and to their governors and so forth, and express their concerns. And a person doesn't have to be a nuclear physicist to be able to say that we want to be able to breathe clean air and swallow clean water and have our farms farmed with clean water. We just have to all take responsibility and speak out against it. There is no safe solution for radioactive waste. when you have stuff that has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. I mean, who are we kidding? So we have to just all take part and say we want to have a safe environment.
Please put your courage feet on. Please take action. We certainly need all of your help. And thank you so much. Thank you, Kay, for joining us.